Maroney Zone Radio, the award-winning view and interview show with your host, Jeff Roney. Hey, everybody, and this is the conclusion of our interview with Jen and Angela of the Anomaly podcast show. Cool thing that you can listen to and stuff. So here it is. Enjoy.
So,
okay, Jen, your lightsaber color, please.
Well, every time I played Knights of the Old Republic, I chose the teal saber.
Ah.
So I like teal, but you can't get a master replica teal saber. So I would have to choose blue also. Or blue, just blue.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good. Who came up with the idea for Anomaly first?
I'm not sure that we should do. I think we... Because we were having these conversations about maybe it was Battlestar or something at work. Mm-hmm. And because of our unique combination of perspectives, it was ending up being really funny. Okay. And we, you know, who why does anyone start to decide, I think other people will find this enjoyable, you know? And so we just decided we should do it. But it was generally... was more the driving force of actually getting it done. I think I was more idea generation and Jen was more practical application. Would you say?
Yeah, probably. So, but I mean, I think what happened really was that I said, oh, you have to listen to these things called podcasts. And because Angela had never heard them before. Mm-hmm. And I got her hooked on a podcast called Geeks On. And okay. You did actually say, we should do this. And mm-hmm. So it was your brainchild, and I named it, and we kind of worked together to put it all, you know, make it what it is today.
Yep.
So
if somebody has just heard that and said, well, Anomaly, okay, it's a podcast. Mm-hmm. If somebody said, well, it's just a sci-fi podcast, I think you guys would fall over in a dead faint. So explain what the Anomaly podcast is to someone who's never heard it before.
Well, it is a sci-fi podcast, but I think it's a really good quality sci-fi podcast. And what we like to do is acknowledge that there is a lot of really good sci-fi podcasts out there and some that are not so good. But anyway, there's a lot of ground being covered. And we think that we bring a fresh perspective, not only because we're women, but because we're individuals. And we, I don't know. What do you think, Jen?
Yeah, I think you pretty much nailed it there. As individuals, we have a different way of looking at things. And like in our Hiding Your Geek episode, we talked about this where Angela is kind of like the one that's, you know, bringing up all the analytical stuff. Because as a director for theater, that's the kind of thing that she looks at. Hmm. And as an artist, for me, I'm always looking at symbolism and things like that. So we do sometimes get a little deep on our shows, but we also kind of like balance that out with a lot of humor. And we don't like to take ourselves very seriously. We just kind of do our thing. And usually that's what we would do normally at work while we were supposed to be actually doing work. And, yeah, we decided we don't have those conversations as often. If something funny is said at work, we're like, okay, we have to stop and save this for an episode. We mm-hmm. can't talk anymore about it.
So. Yeah. Yep. Well, and I think too, I like to think of it like it's the geek girl podcast that can hang with the geek guy podcasts in a way.
Yeah.
Because I think that if you label something girl or girly, that you automatically think that there's something, I don't know, you know, that it's going to be light or fluffy. I don't think we're fluffy at all. I think we're entertaining, but and again, like you said, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do also, I mean, I think we come to the podcast with a lot of experience in sci-fi and a lot of personal experience, from our backgrounds and our education that gives us a really fresh perspective, I think. So that's it.
The reason I know that you guys don't take yourself too seriously, but you do a little bit, is that I hear notes being turned. So there has been some thought, and you know, that's the one thing I believe that's different between most guys and females is that females are very they want to get it down in their hand so that they kind of know where they're going, where guys are kind of like, oh, let's just do it. You know,
I guess
record.
I'm a dude then, because I never used notes.
I'm the one. If you hear yeah. notes being turned, it's yeah. because of me, Jeff.
Okay, good.
So yeah, I'm note taker.
I'm much better on the fly.
Right.
I've noticed. Mm-hmm. So
most of the funniest things that she says are just totally out of air.
Okay.
I mean, just right. she pulls them out of nowhere, and we have these large gaps of laughing that we have to cut out of our podcast because of that. So.
Yeah, you can offer them as extra stuff on the another part of the website or whatever, but just laughing. So, okay, tough question. What is your favorite Anomaly episode thus far?
Go ahead, Jen. You have one.
I happen to have two. I really like our Star Wars experiment podcast, where we had a friend who'd never ever seen Star Wars before, and we introduced her to A New Hope, and we had her watch it, and then we interviewed her afterwards to get her feedback, and that was one of my favorite episodes that we did. And the other was, just because it was fun, Hijacking Treks in Sci-Fi, which is another it's kind of our brother podcast, and we had a lot of fun with sound effects on that one.
Yes.
So. I did hear that one, and that was a lot of fun.
I think my favorite one was either Time Zero or the Buffy podcast, because Time Zero is my favorite Star Trek episode ever. And it's the only one I wanted to do when I started doing this, so I'm very happy I got to do that. So those are my two favorites.
Dream guest interview. Who would it be?
Joss Whedon.
Okay.
Dr. Sally Ride. She's always been a hero of mine since I was a little girl. She was the first woman in space. So
the one thing I would tell you is the best advice anybody ever gave me for doing podcasts, doing shows, is ask. That's the best advice I can give you. Is
I have asked. Okay. She never returned my emails.
Okay. Well, the second thing is don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
You need to continue, because you never know. But okay, very good. Very important question: life and death. Balancing of the evil and good in the universe. Star Trek or Star Wars, which is better?
We're bi.
Yeah. We are. That
are.
Makes us anomalies.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Because they're so different. I mean, I'd really think it's, and we've had this conversation before, but it's like comparing apples and oranges. It's one of them is really is more science fiction related. And even though Star Wars is science fiction, it's science fiction fantasy. Mm. And it's more of a grand scale than Star Trek, which is something that's kind of like, I'm not sure how to explain. I just think it's so different, and I enjoy them both immensely.
If you say Star Trek is a thinking man's show, I'm going to hang this phone up right now.
No, I think that they focus a lot more on the technobabble, and it's more about, because it's just, again, I don't think that I could say which one is better, because I love both of them for totally different reasons.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't really think that it's fair to compare them, just because both of them have the word star in the in the title, doesn't mean that they're anything alike. I just don't think. Mm-hmm. Of course, we could spend about an hour like going through characters and figuring out which one would win in a fight. I would enjoy doing that.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
I have to. Yeah, I just have to show my my Lucas love, because I'm going to pay for his old folks' home stay. So I figured if I paid that much money to somebody, I might as well just be a fan to the death. The only thing I do for Shatner now is watch his show, and when he interviews, Judge Judy and Tim Allen and, whatever. But his roast was really funny. George Takei came out swinging, and that was really funny. So
wow.
Anyway.
And when was his roast?
I think you can see it now on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Watch it now before it's gone.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I'm sure. I think that we don't really think of Shatner, though, because both of us are very TNG people.
Okay. Yeah, that was the Star Trek of the generation we're from, so.
Yeah.
I think Marina Sirtis is the greatest actress in any Star Trek show ever.
Angela, tell them your story about meeting Marina.
Everything costs money, and we want to offer this to you. It's a support page, support.ronizone.com. There's two ways that we would ask that you would help support us. One is just a PayPal link, and you can donate any amount you'd like through PayPal. The other way is to buy products from our other links to affiliates that we offer on that page as well. We really appreciate it. Everything costs money, and we want to continue to keep these shows free, so we offer this to you. Please visit our support.ronizone.com page to help support us. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Angela, tell them your story about meeting Marina.
Did you hear the episode we talked about that?
I think I missed that one. I haven't heard many.
I met Marina Sirtis. She came to do, I don't know what she was doing here, but she was here in my hometown at a local bookstore. And I bought a copy of First Contact. And I went to get it signed by her. And I got an autographed picture of her and stuff. And it just so happened that I was on a brochure, like my picture was, my likeness was on a brochure of a local restaurant that I worked at. Hmm. And when I went up to the table, I signed a copy of a picture of myself and gave it to her.
Very nice.
And it was funny because she just sort of like, she just looked at me and she goes, "This is you." And I said, "Yes, it is me." And she kind of had a weird look like she'd been hit by a truck. It was pretty funny. And she signed all my stuff, and I still have it right now. And I don't know. It was just it's something only I would do, I think, maybe, is give someone an autographed picture of myself. I mean, why would she want that? But, you know, it gave her a funny story to tell, hopefully, somebody.
Like Brent Spiner, maybe.
Somebody like Brent Spiner, because that's who I really want to meet, so... Anyway,
so, okay, I don't know if you've heard my Harrison Ford story.
Okay, no.
Okay, I mean, you can't get back these 10 minutes, so here we go. I was at Disneyland with a girlfriend at the time. We were on the Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. I looked out the window, and I saw Steven Spielberg posing for pictures with a couple of kids outside. So I turned to the girlfriend. I said, "We're getting out of the line." Girls can't read your mind, I've found out. And so she turned and said, "Why?" And I said, "Steven Spielberg is out there." And then all of a sudden, everyone turned to look at me. And I go, "Just kidding." I said, "Get out of the line." So we went out. And then I looked over and I saw Harrison Ford. I saw Amy Irving on the King Arthur's carousel. And then I saw Harrison Ford's wife. And there was Max Spielberg in the little stroller. So, I mean, they were all there. And this was right after Temple of Doom had wrapped. So I got a couple of pictures, fuzzy, pre-digital camera. But that was as close as I've ever come to seeing, you know, the holy duo. So, you know, we got Spielberg and we got Harrison Ford. But that was exciting. One of the pictures, my girlfriend at the time was against a wall with her mouth hanging open. Cause you know, it was funny. She was like one of those, you know, Tourette's people walking up. "I need to," and the guy from Disneyland kind of stopped her and said, "Ma'am, are you feeling okay?" "Yeah, I love Harrison Ford. I want to." So they probably took a picture and wrote things down like, you know, "Watch out for this woman. She's, you know, whatever."
Well, what would you do? And I mean, I don't know. I don't know. What do you do in those situations? It's just hard to know.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would say hello. You know, thank you. You know, can I have a dollar or something? I don't know.
Can I have a dollar?
Something. Maybe he can spare one or two. That's what I like about the whole convention thing is that you do have the opportunity from time to time to kind of bump into some of these people if you have your wits about you. And that's what's nice about Disneyland, too, is you never know. So,
well, that's cool because I like the idea of the convention rather than just being randomly in public because that's the reason they're there.
Right.
You know, they're being paid to be there to, you know, to be ogled by fans, and so you don't have to feel bad about it. But if you just randomly see somebody in a movie theater or, you know, something like that, then you feel like, well, can I go say something to them? Can't I? I don't know. But when they're at the convention, that's what they're there for. Mm-hmm. So.
Right.
I would feel more comfortable with that. So.
Okay. We're coming to the last mile here, and I appreciate your time. I hope this has been fun. So, will JJ save the Star Trek movie franchise?
Always in motion is the future.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to say to that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Can't really
predict
it.
I don't know if it's a matter of him saving it or just not screwing it up.
What? Not saving it?
Well, no. I mean, I think that.
Huh? There were four people that saw the last Star Trek movie, and one of them wasn't me.
I've seen it, and I hated it.
See?
Even though those are my favorite, those are my favorite of all of them. I really like the ones with TNG in them, but at the same time, I was very, very disappointed, and I think that Star Trek is bigger than JJ. And I'm just hoping because we heard didn't you hear that the blessing had been given by Leonard Nimoy?
Yes, Nimoy says it's good, and he said it's great. So
I'm happy with that. The only thing I'm nervous about is the whole idea of the alternate storyline, and that it's an alternate history or something. That's the only thing
it's a time travel history. It's a
but, you know, especially with the way Battlestar has turned out, I feel like in the right hands, things can go well. Like you can, like if you would have, are you a Battlestar fan?
Well, you know, let's go there. I think Battlestar Galactica saved sci-fi television.
Oh, I think
period.
So too.
Period.
I think so too. But the thing with Battlestar is like if someone would have come up to you and said, okay, this guy Ron Moore, you know, he did some Star Trek and you know, this is what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. See, Starbuck's a chick and the Cylons are this and this is this. You would have been like, what are you talking about?
Right,
you would have
been
thinking there is no way that that could work. Or, you know, in the same vein, when people in 97, when people were like, okay, remember that really stupid movie Buffy the Vampire Slayer? We're going to make a TV show out of it.
Right.
Right. Okay. You know, and so there's things that sound like a bad idea, and then when it's put into motion, it actually works. So, you know, that's going from movie to TV, though. It's not going from TV to movie. So hopefully this will work out. I want it to work. I want it to work.
Specifically, I mean, if I could say something, a minute.
Oh.
We usually reserve judgment until after we see something. So we can't say really whether he's going to completely ruin it or not. From what I've seen, it looks pretty good, but it's very shiny and it's very pretty. And when I say pretty, I mean all of the characters, you know, are bombshells. And but that's kind of been the nature of Star Trek. You know, I mean, that's their thing since the very first episode, you know.
Right.
So,
and also it kind of depends on what you mean by succeeding. Like it could be a box office smash and everyone could love it but Star Trek fans.
Exactly. And that's,
you know,
it's
what I mean?
Just like Star Wars. Star Wars that some of the harshest critics are its own fans.
Right. Or it could be the other way around where the fans of Star Trek love it and want more and the people, the general public is like, meh, whatever. You know, so it kind of depends on what you mean by success.
Yeah.
But that's the most even-handed way to deal with it though I've ever heard is I'm telling you, when I listen to some of the most popular Star Wars podcasts, it was like I was listening to somebody trying to hypnotize my brain and tell me that the Clone Wars CGI film was the greatest film ever made, and that it was canon and it was perfect, and you should love it. Hello? Is anyone out there? We'll forgive the Ewoks. We'll forgive the Yippies. But then when it comes down to this whole film where they're really trying to do something in the EU, you know, there's been so many missteps. Let's take the Force Unleashed out of the equation. There have been so many missteps within Lucasfilm as far as games and everything else. Somebody needs to retake the helm or something because, you know, are you looking forward to the live action show? No.
No.
Not anymore. Anyway, I think J.J. Abrams is a fantastic writer, mind, thought guy, and I think he's going to do well with Star Trek. You know, somebody needs to do something. There have been some missteps there, but anyway, so.
Yeah, it seems to be that the people that have been doing Star Trek have, whether they've been wrong or right, have been a little more calculating in a way than some of what's been going on with Star Wars, because Star Wars just seems like to me to be very stream of consciousness. Ooh, this is a good idea. Ooh, what about, ooh, this is a good idea.
Right.
Let's do this. So, I mean, but I think all of us really want it to work. that's the best to say. We all really want it to work. We want the Star Wars things to work too. We want everything to work. We want good things to watch and to talk about and to destroy. Because that's what we do when we talk about things.
Right. We do have a tendency to do that.
Whatever.
But that's...
I'm calling on anyone who's listening, whatever God you believe or don't believe, pray or do something for the franchises of Star Wars and Star Trek. Please, just something. I don't care what it is. Crystals, candles, something.
We'll do a rain dance.
It's fine. Whatever you believe, just do something. Ladies, it has been a fantastic time talking to you.
Thank you for having us.
You got
Thank
it.
You.
And hopefully we can do it again, you know, maybe at some point.
Sure.
Certainly.
What is your dream goal for 2009? What are the one or two things that you're looking for as far as your show? That if this happens, you have succeeded or whatever you're shooting for.
Well, I hope the ending of Battlestar doesn't stink.
Okay. Yeah, that's a big one. For us, though, I mean, I think we would like to make sure to hopefully get 2 episodes out a month. We're already behind, but that's okay.
Yeah.
We're going to try our hardest to get 2 episodes out.
Well, I thought we decided to be a monthly podcast because of our schedules.
Well,
and it's kind of difficult with your baby and everything. So,
but we're going to try.
Yeah.
We're going to try to keep updating. And, you know, for us in the geek world, we have about 5 costumes we have to make. So hopefully those will get done. And, you know, just keep it going. I think we just really want more people to enjoy it. And we would like more feedback. I mean, that's
our, the big thing. Yeah.
Our big thing is that we want people to talk to us. We hope to eventually be able to do, you know, quizzes and giveaways and trivia and more fun stuff like that. But we can't really do that until we have more listeners and more feedback. And we may have more listeners, but we don't know because not everybody contacts us. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure every podcaster feels that way.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Ladies, you have a great show, and it's a great lineup with you guys, and I think the best is ahead. So I just want to just congratulate you on a great show.
Thank you.
Again, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
There is no way we can do what we do on our own. So we often play promos and things like that, and we want you to check out these promos, but also take a second and check out these shows if they really seem interesting to you. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
There are things under the skin of the world that most people would rather not think about. What goes on in that seemingly abandoned building you drive by every day? Children disappear, never to be seen again. News of cannibalism, self-mutilation, and exploitation of the helpless fills our airwaves. The stench of evil pervades our world. Who will stand in the gap? A small band of unlikely warriors have chosen to fight against the darkness. they don't realize what they've gotten themselves into or the sacrifices they will have to make. Their enemies are Legion. This fall, make sure you subscribe to Archangel Legion at www.archangelnovel.com. Your very soul may depend upon it.
The future. A world where the quest for truth has ended. Although some of us are trying to keep it alive.
Hey, Rand, do you think Vincent's okay?
He's become more tense and distant every day since Isaiah died.
I'll make sure we get back on track, even if I gotta save everybody from themselves.
We've got our share of enemies.
Hey, you can't come here!
Intruder, take him down!
What
is
that thing?
Look out!
Surprise!
We're looking for others to join us.
What's with the blue robes? These guys wizards or something?
Santafi are powerful weavers of miracles.
We thought we'd found some allies.
Encircle them, brother.
They cannot return with us to the village.
And we must purify this place of their stain.
We were wrong.
Are we ready, brothers?
Let's begin.
Burn, ungodly filth!
What do you want? To make you ours or to make you despair?
Spirit Blade Productions presents...
Did you have any idea how much I will make you suffer? The horrific agony that I will inflict.
Spirit Blade. Dark Ritual.
Hell will be a refuge for you when I'm finished.
For more information, visit spiritblade.net.
Here's just a quick reminder that if you want to continue to get these Roni's Own Radio shows directly sent to either your Google Reader or your iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts, please visit subscribe.ronizone.com, and it's going to give you links and instructions of how to get subscribed and get connected to us so we can send you shows automatically. Thanks so much. Well, I had a great time talking to Jen and Angela. They have a great show, so I definitely recommend that you listen to their Anomaly podcast, and I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger because I really think they're onto something, and I think as new people listen and get turned on to their show, that it's just going to grow. And I think they have a lot to say, and I definitely think this show has a lot of breadth and a lot of room to grow. So anyway, tell some friends and definitely get over there yourself and listen to it. And so this it concludes our interview discussions with Jen and Angela. I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be back with some more cool stuff next time. Thank you for listening to Roni's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com and drop us an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roni's Own Radio.